And now this from the Main Street Radio Show on Prairie Public.
I'm Doug Hamilton with Ashley Thornburg, and we're joined in our Bismarck studio by Sue Balcom. She's with the Tri-County Alliance, and she has a business with her husband called The Roots Cellar. It's a farmer's market, a small farm north of Mandan, west of the Missouri River. Thanks for being with us, Sue.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate your time.
Sue, one of the things that you are growing is microgreens. Set us up. What are microgreens?
Well, the word micro is tiny, tiny, and the word green means little leafy things. And so when you put them together, you get young seedlings that, if left to their own device, would, of course, grow up and mature into full-bore vegetables. But these little teeny, tiny microgreens are the almost perfect food and a great addition to any of your spring salads. Seeds, as you know, if you're a gardener at all, you know that a seed is kind of a perfectly packaged, tiny little living thing. And so it doesn't need much more than a little bit of water and a little bit of temperature in order for it to grow. So it's packed with its own, like, nutrition. And so there's been this huge, huge movement towards eating better. And microgreens are one of the things that we can do to add flavor, color, and more nutrition to just about anything that you can eat that's green.
I didn't know that my chia pet was edible.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that hilarious? We've been growing microgreens all these years, like from the 70s on up, and using them for entertainment instead of for nourishment.
You mentioned more nutritious. How much more nutritious?
Well, according to a study that was done by the University of Maryland in College Park, there are microgreen varieties that are from 4 to 40 times more concentrated in nutrients than if left to grow up and mature and produce fruit. So microgreens are basically grown in soil like other plants. They're not sprouts like you would find in a lot of Oriental food, you know, has bean sprouts in it. These are actually grown in soil, and then they're clipped so their roots remain in the ground, and you're eating those three or four little leaves that are just packed full of goodness. And some of them are extremely flavorful.
Wow. Why aren't we seeing restaurants serving just plates of microgreens? The healthiest thing you could eat, I take it.
Well, you know, I've been preaching about eating fruits and vegetables for many years now, saying that that's the single most thing you can do to stay healthy. And people are still not quite convinced about that. And I wonder if it's because we don't raise a lot of animals in this state. So we have to be fair to them, right?
I guess so. Are there flavor notes that we should be aware of with microgreens?
Well, you know, you have your lettuce flavors that you can get from most greens, but if you do something like arugula or red cabbage, you're going to enter into a little bit more spicy realm. I prefer mustard greens myself. I love kale. And sunflower seeds are extremely tasty. And radishes, you know, anything that has a little bit of spice or a bite, that will add a delightful note to any of your salads. Plus, color. You know, food is so much better when it's got some color in it. So, like, red cabbage will come up. Red cabbage is actually supposed to be really, really packed with vitamin E and vitamin C, which, after the long winter and all those gray skies, you're going to want to get out there and get some vitamin D and C from the sunshine. So eat some red cabbage sprouts.
And microgreens, I mean, they're almost moronically easy to grow.
I know. And I know some people don't like to have boxes of dirt in their house. But, oh, I'm sorry. My friends at the grazing lands would correct me, boxes of soil, living soil in your house. But that's all it would take is a tiny little windowsill box of organic soil and some really good seeds. And you can get specialty seeds for microgreens. But as a gardener, when I'm out crawling around on the ground in the early mornings and thinning my carrots or my radishes, I'll actually eat those rather than throw them away. And so I always tell people I have breakfast outside.
I just started growing microgreens for the first time myself, and probably a case of I overseeded it. It sounds like a thing I would do. They're growing so fast, they're almost like bringing the soil up with them. And so where should I really be cutting the microgreens? Do I just cut the very top off and then do I pull the rest of that, or will they grow again like if you cut a worm in half?
Oh my goodness. Let's leave worms out of this, okay? although they're beneficial to good soil too. You'll want to cut those greens off kind of right slightly above the soil line.
Okay.
And so the roots that you leave behind will not do any damage, but rather a lot of good to that soil, adding a little bit of organic matter to your soil. Now, remember I said earlier that these little seeds have all of these wonderful things it needs to survive, so it's not pulling too much out of the soil. So I think that once you have them cut, you can actually throw some more seeds in there and keep them growing. That's what we do for our cat.
A long time ago, we had the scare about bean sprouts, that they might be contaminated. Now we've got this romaine lettuce thing that's been going around the country. How do we grow microgreens to be, reasonably sure that they'll be safe to consume?
Sometimes the issue with those outbreaks is the mass quantities of lettuces and things that are sourced from multiple farmers. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing this by yourself, or even if you have a friend or two that you're going to share all those greens with, which that's what I would suggest, your chances of contamination for these particular things are pretty low. I wouldn't wear gloves or anything, because part of working in the soil is your hands, that's tactile. You actually absorb some nutrients from the soil. But if you go, of course, like I said earlier, and get some good organic soil, potting soil, or mix your own, which I, of course, do that myself, the chances of those being bad for you are very slim. It's the water that would spread, contamination from one vegetable to another, or, using a cutting board that's not clean or that's been used to cut up meat. But if you're relatively sure that you just kind of like cut them yourself and put them right on your plate, I wouldn't even wash mine off, because they're not dirty.
Will it matter much when you are growing microgreens? Like, do you want to have one tray of living soil for red cabbage and one for the other ones, or can
Heck
you do
no.
a mix?
You want to rotate your crops?
You could rotate your crops if you wanted, but I would, some of them germinate at different times, like you might have something that'll come up in 2 days. Like I've got lettuces planted that come up in 2 days, and then I've got these doggone cabbages. I'm still waiting for them to come out of the ground. That would be the only deterrent to just mixing them up. Okay. And if you are going to use your tray of soil more than once, I wouldn't recommend using it for a lifetime, but for a couple rounds or three or four rounds, I would just keep sprinkling seeds in there once you've harvested them.
What about those volunteer greens that we sometimes try to mow into oblivion, like a dandelion?
Dandelions are up already out in my yard. And, that craving for greens just makes you want to just pull those things out and eat them. And they're very good for you. So we do not spray dandelions at our house. We try to do a chemical-free lawn. And so I do go out and harvest dandelion greens. They're very popular down south. They can be sautéed, or they can be tossed into salads, just like your microgreens or any of your other lettuces. The trick is to get them when they're young so that they're not so bitter. And then when they get larger, you can always harvest the root, but that's a whole nother segment.
Well, you can find greens in your lawn. You can raise them over your kitchen sink, or you will have them served to you at a local restaurant. You can find them at a co-op grocery or a farmer's market. They're out there now, aren't they, Sue?
They're absolutely. You can get them in Bisman Food Co-op in Bismarck, and those are grown by a friend of mine who has a farm with his wife down in central North Dakota called Forager Farms. It's one of the very things that they do to diversify their operation so that they have a longer season to sell to people. And then there is Dirthead Farms on your side of the state that's also building a business out of microgreens. I've actually been to farmers markets where they'll bring the trays in, like, you know how bread is slid into a big long tray in its own little compartment there? They'll bring their microgreen trays into a farmer's market, and they cut them for you, weigh them out, and you purchase them, and there is nothing fresher than that for your salad.
Well, there's an idea for the future. Sue Balcom, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Sue Balcom is with the Tri-County Alliance, and she and her husband operate the Root Cellar, a small farm north of Mandan, and they sell at a farmer's market.